Blog Talk Radio. don't think our direct connect is going to cooperate with us this evening, so we're going to have to go with the telephone. And so that's how we're speaking now. So again, I think I should be connected with everyone, but we're not on the direct connect. We're on regular telephone connection. That's why you're hearing some of the feedback. I'm going to have to get a little distance from the ready from the studio because I am getting feedback from myself. So, again, Brother Aziz, again, this is, and all of our listeners, I'll say it again, this is New Africa Black Belt Wall Street, and we're celebrating our veteran salute to veterans. And so any veterans that come on, or any veterans you know, would love to be able to salute or to speak with them. But in the meantime, we're going to continue our first half of the show with network marketing and business identification. And we're looking to expand that business, whether it be right here in the United States or it be somewhere else. We know that we have made this country very, very successful through the black soil, and that black soil is the farming that went on from New Mexico throughout the South to include Maryland and Delaware, because that's where the large concentration of all the slaves was bought to. And this is where the produce from the what they call the black soil, which is the farming, made this country not one of the richest, but the richest country in the entire world. So we're saying that as African Americans, if we did that for America, then certainly we can do this for ourselves. The question is, where would we have enough land that would be as large as the black soil, which I said went from Texas throughout the South all the way to Maryland and Delaware? So that question, I think, is going to be answered tonight because, again, like I said, the same success we made this country from the black soil, we can do the same thing with the same black soil somewhere else. And where else are we talking about? None other than the motherland, which we know as Africa, the land that we and I say we because I speak of every African that bought here, that was bought here from Africa to the United States by capture. So again, we're saying we as independent African Americans, we have found where we can return home because our ancestors, our African brothers and sisters, are asking that we return home. And to see how productive and how valuable that move may be made, we will have a specialist who has specialized in the travel and have dealt with the ambassadors. And as a matter of fact, we have our own ambassador that is sponsoring a trip. And they have already been negotiating for a few years how there can be dual citizenship for African-Americans to return home. But again, you're going to be hearing from an expert who can be much more informative than I am being. So again, my name
yes,
is...
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And I am going to turn over my, send the show to my co-host, Abdul Aziz Shaheed. And after his comments, we look forward to going to our special guest speaker this week tell you more about the dual citizenship and the business, doing business. So Brother Aziz, welcome home. And
thank you.
We welcome your comments, and we will, after that, we will go right on over and bring in Sister Ali. Brother Ali.
Thank you, Brother Bilal, and greetings to our listeners, and assalamualaikum to you, my brother, and our listeners also. Glad to be back. I spent the last week in a place called New Braunfels, Texas, and it was with my brother and four of my other brothers, my blood brothers. But I had a good experience out there. I was in a place they call Trump territory, so I got to see how some people in America think a little bit differently than others. And I ran into this one person that was a vendor at a flea market, and we talked and talked. And my brothers moved on, and he had some items there that I was interested in. So we got to talking, and the guy says, you know, your brother, my brother had on a hat saying a Vietnam veteran. So he wished my brother thanking for his service and that. And my brother said, well, my other two brothers here, they were in the military in Vietnam also. And so, oh, wow, whole family. So, yeah, so anyway, as my brothers walked on, and I'm still looking at some of the items this guy had, the guy says to me, he says, as a patriot, he says, I'm a patriot, and I believe in what this country stands for. And I said, yeah? He said, yeah. He says, do you know that Trump is still the president of this country? I said, no, I did not. He said, that guy that's in office now, it's not really Biden, it's a clone. I said, oh, wow, I didn't know that. He said, yeah, we've got to take this country back. He said, there's going to be a new money coming out very shortly, and on it is going to have printed the Republic of America, backed by U.S. Treasury, which shall be gold in the Treasury Department, in the Federal Reserve box, and our bank now is none. But he also said, did you know that also pretty soon, if you notice, most of the government buildings in D.C. are empty. That's because there's nothing going on in them. Pretty soon, the capital of the United States will be in Texas or either Arizona, one of the two. And he gave me this site to go to called beforeitsnews.com. And on this site, it had on it that Nancy Pelosi had got arrested by the FBI, her and another guy got arrested by the FBI for a conspiracy to assassinate President Trump. And when you go to this site, there's all this corrupt garbage and stuff on there about America and that. But to me, it was an idea that these people running around with their minds that warped. One guy, and I don't mean to offend anyone, but one guy, I went to an eyeglass shop. My glasses got dropped and stepped on by one of my little nephews playing with him. And I went to the shop to get to see if they could get the metal frame straightened. And the guy did a great job in it. He was a very nice man. And we got to talking. And he was a veteran, you know, had been in the military, him and his brother. So before I left out of the store, I said, hold on a minute, I want to show you something. And this was a Caucasian guy. He said, I want you to see something. And he comes out and he shows me a picture that his daughter took besides Herschel Walker. And he says, this is a great guy here, and I hope you do well. I say, yeah. I say, oh, your daughter took a good picture. You know, I didn't comment it, but my point is, it's a lot. These are two different situations and two different people I'm talking about. They're thinking way out far in the extreme, and it's a lot of minds like that. And these elections that's going on, or went on yesterday, even took it farther with all these conspiracy plots. So my thing is, you know, one of the things, while all this madness and the stupor is going on, us African Americans, we need to vote. We need to have voted and continue to vote and hope that that accomplishes something. And I've seen many places it does. But at the same time, you know, we can't fall into this thing where we believe all this conspiracy garbage that's out there. It will really, really mess our minds up. So, you know, I didn't see many African Americans out there in business or out there, period. A lot of Hispanics, or if they were really Mexicans, coming from Mexico and that, but it was quite an experience. I couldn't wait till I got back here to share that information with some of my friends and that, and tell them about this website where you see all this garbage and stuff going on, and, you know, really talking about the demise of America as we see it, and something new coming on, and they're just running around all over there. And the other thing was, in spite of the fact that we're not clear of this COVID disease, the majority of the people out there, overwhelming majority, if not, it wasn't all, but the overwhelming majority, they didn't wear any masks to prevent anything. And I'm almost not going to travel on the airlines anymore, because on the flight, there were a number of people that didn't have the mask on, and a number of them were coughing. And we're just praying to Almighty God that, you know, we don't get sick or anything from it so far. We're okay, but it was just unbelievable. It's just Americans, a lot of Americans just don't care about what's going on. And because they kind of lifted the mask restrictions in a lot of places, you know, and people coughing on the airplane and that, and it was very tight. So I'm just saying to people, you know, be very cautious about how you travel in these really crowded places and things like that. It's just, it's not healthy with what's going on in our society today. But I hope and pray that these new elections that we face and these new people that's coming in is going to help our country, you know, move to a better place. As Brother Bilal, you and I had discussed prior to that, that in spite of the fact that we sometimes really didn't want Biden to be our man per se, but he was the choice that we had there. He is a statesman that's been there for 50 years. He knows what's going on. And I kind of liken him to Lyndon Baines Johnson, LBJ, who, when he took office, even though he was a Dixiecrat and all his boys went south on him, you know, joined the Republicans, he still what he had to do for America. And, you know, he did do a whole lot to help move the country on to a better place. So Biden was one of them two Dixiecrats, and I think he's been put in a position where Almighty God is affecting him to the point to where he's trying to do better and trying to mend things in this country the way it is. And I might say also in the state of Maryland, we have our first African-American governor. And he's a governor that says he wants to hear the voice of the people, and that's what he wants to go by. And so, great. And I know we had a business program, and we're talking about business tonight, but I just wanted to discuss that, Brother Bilal, and let the people know that about this madness that's going on in certain parts of the country about how people think, as well as the other good news about the politics maybe changing in some places for the better, and others, they're not moving. But as far as business-wise, we're going to continue to do what we do, try to promote businesses and network African-American business throughout the country, as well as those that are listening to us that are outside America and in the Caribbean, as well in parts of Africa and Great Britain. And that's what I wanted to start off with tonight, Brother Bilal, and thank you for letting me share that.
All right, Brother Roger. Thanks so much. Again, like I said, you're getting this feedback from me because we're not on direct connect, and because I am on the telephone, I have to stay a distance from the microphone because we're getting this feedback that you're here occasionally, so I have to stay a certain distance. But no, well said, Brother Aziz. Our democracy, I might say, is still in trouble. But if you look at this election, those who you're talking about, as far as going to continue to go with fraudulent and more or less a white supremacy direction, because anytime you start still saying Donald Trump is still the president, and there is no other president, then that's only because of your white supremacy desires. They was hoping that those desires would expand themselves from this election, but you can see that they didn't do nearly as well as they thought they would do, especially those that Donald Trump had appointed and was supporting, saying that these would be his new senators and House of Representatives. And
right, yeah.
And it seems we don't know, even as we speak, which way the House nor the Senate will go, because there everything is basically even, and until they have until all the ballots are counted, and that may take up to a month. We know in Georgia there's going to be a recount. And that's not going to end until December. So we can see we really ain't going to know because of how close the voting took place. But there are many things that we found out in addition to, like I said, the white supremacists. And their fraudulent of behavior, but many of the votes that took place was by those who recently came into the country. Hispanics from all over. We don't know which country they came from, but they're here in the United States. And, of course, I don't know if there were some deals or what, but I know they voted heavily Republican. So our democracy, man, it is serious trouble as long as Americans are willing to accept anything just to put themselves or their party in power. So we're going through some times that is very touching, but that's one of the reasons why I'm so glad that we are finally working with experts such as we're getting ready to bring on to the air right now. And we have, like I said, we as African-Americans, we were bought here as slaves. But now we have the choice, and our choice is a dual citizenship of whether we want to live here in the United States, and the opportunity of going back to Africa after hundreds of years of bondage. So with that said, I am going to switch over now to our North Carolina director. And Sister Ali, are you with us?
Yes, sir. Can you all hear me?
Yes, ma'am, very well. And so
great.
We're going to, Sister, we're going to just go and switch right on over to you, and we welcome your comments.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I am honored to be a part of this program in this capacity. And listen to what Brother Aziz was saying about the rumors and these people coming off on the blogs with, you know, these fallacies about what's happening. You know, it's fear-mongering. And what they want to do is continue to distract progress in this country. And progress is being made in different ways, so I just see those people as distractors because they don't want the progress. They want to stay in the small capacity that they built that's safe for them. But on another footing, as far as progress when it comes to business, international business, you know, I don't think that's spoken enough about in the Black community, international business, when we historically have always traded and done business internationally. You know, our ancestors did that. Before they were slaves, they were kings and queens and prominent ministers of government and, you know, caliphs and, you know, high-ranking people. And so they would trade among other tribes and other countries and such. So business was always handled in that capacity. And when you think about international or intercultural business, you have to think about learning and developing and strategizing in ways that not only meet the needs of the people that you are serving, but also your needs as well. And we as Black Americans know that very well. We know how to do that very well. We know that our history has shown us that we are capable of doing that under oppression, and then we're also capable of doing that at a greater level when we are liberated and excelled to our highest potential. And we've done this in this country, in the foundation of this country, from agriculture to technology to public policy to education to consumer trade and all, and construction and everything that makes up this country. We've had our hand in it. We've had our foot in it. We've had our backs on it, and it's a testimony to our abilities. So why not take those same skills that's been passed on generations and generations, and that we've exceeded at, and use those skills to go back to where it came from, back to where we came from. You know, Africa is still the light of this world in so many ways. There are areas within the continent that are not at its best. There's countries within the continent that are suffering because of the lack of resources, the lack of availability, the lack of innovation and technology, whether that's due to decades of famine, whether that's due to decades of war, whether that's due to government structure, because government, European government, of course, has invaded countries and left them in destitute situations. So we understand that capacity, but we don't understand as a people that we were gifted by our ancestors the ability to make a difference. we don't see it that way. We see that our limitations or our boundaries are here in this country. It doesn't have to be. And doing business in Africa specifically is a way for us to make connections historically, ancestrally, but also for us to broaden business ventures and our understanding of it. I was listening to a woman named Melissa Muhammad who deals with international business. And Brother Bilal, do you know she said that only 5% of the world's wealth is in the United States? Just 5% of the world's wealth. This planet's wealth is in the U.S. The other 95% is outside. And so we as Black Americans are learning all that we can and doing all that we can to get our small, 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 small fraction of 5%. When we have 95% out there that we have availability to. It's all about just taking the step outside of the comfort zone, outside of what you're familiar, and being able to trust yourself to take a risk of something new. And if you're in business and as long as you've been successful in business and understand business, nothing is 100% guaranteed. So don't say Sarz Ali told you guaranteed you're going to make this dollar amount if you invest in, you know, construction work in Sierra Leone. I'm not saying that. Nothing is 100%. If you're in business, you understand that. But if you're successful in your business, you understand how to make it successful. And although the terrain may be different, although the culture may be different, although the language may even be different. I know one particular country I'm speaking of, Sierra Leone, they speak English, so that's not even an issue. But those things may be different, but as a business person, as an entrepreneur, you understand that differences come, challenges come. What sharpens you is how you overcome those challenges and how you learn from them. But how often in business do we make connections, personal, historical, ancestral connections? How often can we do that in business, right? Unless we're doing business in our home state or in our hometown. We understand that. But this is taking it back to something deeper than just our home state and our hometown. And building a connection that will last longer and build more of a legacy. You know, I think of, you know, Brother Aziz, I think of the HBCUs, the historically Black colleges and universities that are predominant in the United States. And for those who are not familiar with the historically Black colleges and universities, the majority of them were started by former slaves. Once they were legally able to publicly be free to be educated, they instantly created institutions of education, of higher education, instantly. And they are spread out throughout the United States. There's not as many as there were when they first started. There were hundreds of them, because it was the same mindset across the nation of all free slaves. Education is key, and so they developed institutions for that. And not all of them, but many of them still stand today and are very successful today.
Yeah.
That type of innovation and technology in an institution is the embodiment of, if you look at the historical legacy of Africa, the Songhai dynasties and the other empires, they created institutions of knowledge that funded and sponsored and facilitated all methods of development. And so our ancestors, 400 years after they were first brought over, they kept that same form of innovation. Let's build institutions of knowledge. And then when those institutions, what's been passed on is agriculture, right? Manufacturing, medicine, veterinarian medicine. Tuskegee has a veterinary medical school. You know, civil and engineering, business, all of those have been established in these institutions. And from those institutions were created small business owners who continued to establish more and more and more and more public policy, politicians, you know, directors, CEOs, so many of them. That type of legacy is possible today in 2022, moving into 2023. It's possible today. It just may not the same way as you're used to from your institution being started, established in the 1800s or the early 1900s or such. But it can start in Africa, where the resources are rich and abundant. And then you take, and just like how they did in the HBCUs, how they took that information, took that knowledge, and they provided for the community. So the communities were created around the institutions. We could still do that in Africa, and they need that. They're wanting that. If I'm talking specifically, I'm talking about Sierra Leone, for one. Sierra Leone is located in Western Africa, right? The president, Julius Maada Bio, he has been working collectively with agencies and organizations that are encompassing Black American business men and women specifically. And he's working in partnership with some ministries in Senegal. And they specifically want Black American business men and women. Why? Right now, if you go online, you will see that the hot ticket or the hot news is that every country wants to do business in Africa. Every country wants to do business. When I say every country, I'm talking about China, the Netherlands, parts of Europe, Russia. They're all trying to do business in Africa. Because Africa right now is being seen as the most lucrative, in some parts, underdeveloped areas where business can grow by leaps and bounds. And they want a piece. And this is nothing new. This has always been. The difference is now that African leaders are seeing, why should we constantly deal with these other countries and make pennies on the dollar when we're worth more than that? And then the money that we make is not even enough for us to put back into our communities to establish proper civil living. You know, Sierra Leone, for an example, has gold and gem mines, diamonds and sapphires and such. And they mine. Other countries come in. And when they take from the mining and they put together these small, insignificant, you know, unfair contracts, and they take from the mining, that it's not enough income to put back into the people. And so the country doesn't develop. That's just an example. And, of course, we've seen that happen over and over again in Africa, whether we hear it on the news or not. The difference is that the African leaders, what they've always known over years, they've said, you know what? We need to look at the African Americans. We have not tapped into the African American community, and we should. And the reason for that is because they came from loss and trauma. They are the product of enslaved people. And yet, look what they've done. Look what they've done. We need that type of innovation in our country. And so with that, the president of Sierra Leone and other ministers and such from Senegal, and they have connected with a business owner named Walid Shamsuddin, and over time developed a relationship. And President Bio has purposely appointed him ambassador to Sierra Leone. And it's really unprecedented for a living president to personally appoint an African-American ambassador to an African country. But he's done this for the purpose of he is wanting and encouraging and inviting African Americans to come and to help build infrastructure through business in Sierra Leone. And the best, and he's smart. The best way to do that is by bringing in one of their own, an African-American business person, appoint them to a position where he can go back to his people and say, hey, the doors are open for us to go in. Let's organize ourselves and do it. He's taking it even further, the president of Sierra Leone. He's partnered with a DNA testing company called AfricanAncestry.com. And with that, they are allowing people to formally obtain citizenship to their country through proof of their DNA that they have direct connection to Sierra Leone. This is another way they're trying to build relationships with Black Americans. And when that happens, there's a quote I'm reading in an article right now, and he said to quote, "We welcome you to acquire land, live in our communities, invest, build capacity, and take advantage of business opportunities." This is a quote from President Julius Maada Bio. And this is going to and has is becoming a trend. Ghana allows for citizenship as well through proof of ancestry, direct ancestry. This is becoming what is needed for us as Black Americans to understand that our home that we hear about historically, you know, through stories and books and such, it is welcoming us back, but also an opportunity to advance in business, to take a part of the 95% of the world's wealth instead of fighting with our competitors. And we know who our competitors are in this country. We know who our competitors are for the 5% that exists in America. We've made our stamp in the United States. We've proven ourselves. If you are a graduate or alumni of the HBCU, you have that pride when you understand that you don't have to prove yourself to anyone else because your people have validated you. And that's a wonderful feeling to have. They're saying the same thing to us in Africa. We validate you. We see you. We've always seen you. Please bring that to us because we need it. I was speaking to a friend of mine. He's an alumni of North Carolina A&T State University, such as myself, and he's from Sierra Leone. And he was saying to me today that, because he knows I'm visiting over there, I'm going with the envoy, the business envoy of Ambassador Wale Shamsuddin in December, and he was saying that, please understand that when you get over there, the people are welcoming and they want you there. But because of the low skills and resources that they have, you're going to have to deal with them differently, deal with them in a manner that they don't necessarily know how to follow suit when it comes to business. But they're wanting it. They're wanting it. And they will learn from you. And they will do whatever is needed. So that told me that we can't go in with the idea of we're going to sign these contracts right away. A lot of it's going to be a learning process for everybody. But what's a good feeling is knowing that when you walk into a space and people welcome you and they're eager to learn from you, eager to build from you, and you understand that when you have it in a multitude of people, amazing things can happen. Amazing progress can take place. I encourage everybody who's interested in any type of international business, even if you're looking and work in Mexico, you know, that's still international business, or in the Caribbean, and that's part of the diaspora. And that's going to be another topic on this show, working in the diaspora totally, from Africa through the Caribbean. Go onto an app and just pick up a money exchange currency app that will tell you the difference between whatever the country's currency is versus against the dollar. And you could see from there the profit that you would make. And that's in real time. And that's necessary to get an understanding of where you might want to be in that capacity. Anything and everything is open. But the first thing that has to be open is the mindset. Are you willing to take a risk? But a risk that has bountiful purpose. And then bountiful rewards. It's going to be a process, but we all know for those who've been in business, business is a process, right? Business is a process.
Right.
Investing in a business is a process. Whether you got stock and you started from that point, you know, you watch your stock every quarter and see if that's gone up, or you watch it to see if it's going down. You pay attention to it. So that money that you put in 1 month, you're hoping it's going to grow by that 10th month, you know, or you're paying attention to see where it is in the 5th month. But everything is a process. But you invest in it because you believe in what you understand that process is going to gain. You know, we're coming from that mindset as business people, but we're also coming from the ancestral standpoint of this is home. This is the original home. And if we have that sentiment of when we go to our grandparents' home, or when we go to, you know, our auntie's home, when we go back home for the holidays and we have that love and support, and, you know, and then we look around and see what's not right, we have that urge to make it right. It's that same type of feeling when we go back to Africa. And I encourage everyone who's listening, who's in that mindset, to visit. But if you're talking about progressing to another level in business and development, this is where to go. This is it. And as we move forward as the next generation of businessmen and women, right, when we're teaching our children and our grandchildren about business, what's happening here has been there, done that, and it's rinse and repeat. Let's encourage them to take those chances that maybe we weren't able to, or take those opportunities that we weren't given, and do it in another country. Of course, with guidance and leadership, they won't be out there by themselves. But let's encourage that. I feel that Brother Bilal and Brother Aziz are doing that by allowing for me to be here and to me to be a voice here on this program, because this is what my generation is looking into. We're looking into what's new and innovative, of course. But what has been done, and where can it be done? And right now, that place definitely is Africa. So what do you think about that, Brother Bilal?
You know, sister, there's so many things that you've said, and there's so many things that I've already considered. But first of all, let me just say this. If you look at the plans that Booker T. Washington put together when he got with the Greenwood Business District down in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and they invited him. As a matter of fact, it was the Greenwood District that invited Booker T. Washington to come there because they knew he was a businessman. And when Booker T. Washington put together the business plan that started the Black Belt Business District, it was financed, of course, from the rich oil that was flowing through the black, that black folks own, and today white folks own the printed into huge refineries, and those refineries today is bringing in trillions of dollars. And back in those days, it was bringing in millions of dollars, which is money. It turns from million to billions, and today it's trillions. But all of this is properties of African Americans. Of course, we know what happened as far as the disruption that took it away. But nevertheless, it goes to show the example of what happens when we can put together our own business plans and execute our own business plans. Now, like a sister was just saying, and I've been saying, if we had the black soil and if we could do with the black soil what we have done for America, and then if we can reinvent what we have done as Black Belt Wall Street and Black Wall Street have done. And when you start talking about a country, because you're talking about a country, Sierra Leone, if we took and went to Sierra Leone as African Americans today, and I use myself as an example. If I went over there and I took $100,000 cash to Sierra Leone, I'm a rich man. And what in the world can I buy with $100,000 of American monies over there? And I'm thinking there in terms of land. How much land I could buy with $100,000 cash. And we know from that land, that's the black soil. And now I own this black soil. We own this black soil, because I don't want to own it. I don't want to necessarily say that I'm going into business and I'm going over there for high myself. No, I wouldn't be interested in that. But if I went over there, like you said, with the African Americans who, as far as industrialization is concerned, we are the most industrialized Africans on the planet. And we've already proven how big that industrialization is in the United States. Here we have the opportunity to go to a country like Sierra Leone. And I'm saying in the first delegation we going down there with in December, if we went down I am going to try to go, and I know when I go, I am going to be going for a good observation. I wish to see for myself, first of all, Africa, and realizing that after hundreds of years, I have returned. But now that I am here, and like you said, the money exchange. You see, the money exchange, when I got $100,000, and you're telling me each one of my dollars is multiplying 10, 15, or 20 times, that is the kind of monies that can replace the oil that Black Wall Street was able to finance the entire Black Belt. And the entire Black Belt, we know, ran through the entire black soil, ran from Texas, and this is the business plan that Booker T. Washington put together after slavery. He took that
exactly,
and there was businesses created all the way from Texas throughout the South, all the way to Virginia, including Maryland and Delaware. But these businesses was created, again, from the flow of the oil and the monies that was made from it created the rich growth of African Americans' businesses all over the United States. And I can't tell you the value of what those businesses would be today if we didn't have them because of the white man's being inferior, that we would be better than they are. And so...
And to give you a testimony to what you're saying, brother, I'm looking at the exchange rate right now, and one U.S. dollar is equivalent to 17,830 Sierra Leonean coins.
You see, that's unimaginable. And I'm saying that but I'm saying, sister, what you just said, like I said, if I took $10,000, do you have a calculator?
Yeah.
Anywhere around? And, sister, if you could take $10,000 and equate the figure you just told me and tell me how much $10,000 of U.S. monies, what would that equal as far as the value of their monies? And once you came up with that figure, and I know it's going to be high, do you realize? You see, this is what I'm saying, the power.
I just did it, and I'm going to lay it out to you as every digit. I'm going to lay it out to you every digit. It's 178,300,000.
And that's $10,000 of American money?
$10,000, just the $10,000 of American.
And which is no more than the down payment on a Cadillac.
Yeah.
The down payment of a Cadillac, you go over there and you're rich. Brothers
wealthy.
And sisters, do you know how many black Wall Streets, now that we can finance, do you know how big of a business plan we could put together in Sierra Leone because of the value of the dollars that we possess? So again, that our cash, the cash flow or the money exchange is just as powerful as if we had oil still that we still own in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So, again, if we took our cash flow, and that's what I mean, a delegation, and the first delegation, which would be this December, but there would be many trips, many delegations, but the first one, we always have to make a start. Let's just say 100 of us made it on the trip. And 100 of us is pledging a $10,000 investment, and in this case, for land, because we know it starts with the ownership of land. And we know from that ownership of land, I know that they were talking, we know we're going to have to deal with water, because they tell me there's a big shortage over there when it comes to those people. They have a big demand for water. They have a big demand for food. So, again, if we went over there and turned that black soil and how much of it we could buy, and turn that into the irrigation that we have to build in order to produce the crops, produce the food. And remember, we going over there with monies. We have the monies, we have the technology, and we have the manpower, because the peoples who work there, who live there, they need income. We could easily employ these our brothers and sisters over there. And in other words, the same ownership that we have made here in the United States, and I'm saying I'm using Black Belt Wall Street and the Black Belt business districts, because before segregation, that was the biggest revenues that was coming into our country. Our biggest revenues came in during the time of segregation. It was after integration that broke up the cash flow that African Americans was realizing from the early parts of the 1900s, during the time
That's
of
right.
Black Wall Street, and during the time of the Black Belt business associations all over the country. I am just saying, take that to Africa. Thought our business plans in Africa. Can you imagine, those of you who know something about the history of Black Wall Street in Tulsa and the Black Belt business districts, where we own our own banks all over the country, our own
exactly.
Our own real estate firms. We own everything that was needed. We actually own during the time of segregation. Our cash flowed and continued to circulate in our communities 40 times before it went on the outside of our communities.
And that is an opportunity to happen again, because what the ambassador, I spoke with him yesterday, what he was saying is not only what you're talking about, Brother Bilal, but also if you took $10,000 and invested in a black-owned business who came over to, for instance, construction, and that business got a contract to build the roads, to build the bridges, right, to build the highways, to build, you know, the foundational areas of transportation throughout the country, and you took your $10,000 to get equity stake in that company. Every time that company provides services, every time they actually fulfill a project, then you get benefits from that. You get financial gain from that, and that's how the money was able to continue to revolve within Black Belt Wall Street. Over and over, because black dollars were investing in black businesses that were investing in black communities.
Absolutely.
And it just paid itself over and over again.
So again, sister, this is the emphasis. This is the reality that must be realized by African Americans. That what we have achieved in the past can be achievable again, but it won't be where you can have white supremacists coming in and saying we are we just can't have black people being better than us. This this is what I mean about that dual citizenship. We're African Americans. We can stay here. We've been here. We don't have anything else but the United States. But to have the opportunity to go back home to Africa and to go back and build our power financially, monetarily, But African Americans possess a huge power, and if that power was taken, and in this case the Sierra Leone, because that would be a beautiful country to start because of how poor the country is. But think of how rich we could make that poor country. And in the meantime, look how filthy rich. Because, again, like I said, when we go over there, most of the average African-American, you already will become wealthy. You're already wealthy. Because I go over there, and I'm going over there, and my $10,000 has made me quite wealthy, but $100,000, my goodness, I am. So I'm trying to show the power that we as African Americans have with our skills, with our monies, and Africa has the land. Because here in the United States, it's going to be hard, in my opinion, for African Americans to acquire land the size of a state. We're not going to be able to say North Carolina, the state of North Carolina, is our property. We won't be able to say the state of Virginia is our property or the state of Georgia. You see, but in Sierra Leone, the entire country, we're able to share with our African brothers and sisters. And now, and so we're able to bring industrialization to a country almost the size of the United States. So, and that's just one country. But Africa is an entire continent. So I'm saying if the growth from a poor country like Sierra Leone, where would we be 50 years from now, starting at industrializing just that one country, but I'm saying our expansion throughout Africa. That's the first thing, to get back in and to say we have the soil, the earth, as to where we now can own, and by owning the earth, a part of the earth, you can build on it. So,
and then we also have a bridge.
Come right. No, I'm asking you to come right on in with me, because I am doing up and just speculating as a financial planner and visualizing. You've been there. And see, and it's your information that has gotten me the interest that I have. But I know that once I could actually go there and see for myself, because I find it, I've always said that African Americans cannot, first of all, as far as a democracy, where do you think this democracy would be if there wasn't African Americans in this country? We're the ones who saved the country by making certain that there was no more Donald Trump. That Donald Trump didn't get in office again, because this man was he said his intentions was to declare martial law, and if he was able to declare martial law, there wasn't going to be any more elections. If he can get back in the office, he's already said, and like Aziz was saying, many of his followers are saying that he is the president. There is so much fraud and stupidity going on in this country, but it's violence remember, if you looked at our election here that's just yesterday, you're not talking about a handful of races. You're talking about millions. Every state, we had the biggest turnout of voters, especially for midterm elections, than it's ever been recorded in this country in our history. Millions of us came out to vote. African Americans came out in records for midterm voting. So again, we as African Americans, and this is all that's happening. It's been happening the last 15 to 20 years. Like I said, when these insurrectionist white folks have made their move as far as white supremacy, and doing it through a politics, and it was the African Americans then. I'm saying then, during the time of Donald Trump, and tonight, when they expected the Republicans and these followers of Donald Trump were supposed to have taken control of the House and the Senate by large numbers. Right now it's all split even. Why? Because of especially African Americans stand within their party and vote for our democracy, and that democracy, justice, and freedom, justice, and the pursuit of happiness. That's where we voted for, and that's what is having this. That's what's saving our democracy. So, after saving this democracy, we also know that it's going to go right on back to discrimination right after everybody's in office and we start living our American lives again. There won't be any advantages for African Americans as far as our saving the democracy in this country. And that ain't the first time we've done it. We've done it many, many times, especially when it comes to our veterans and our services, especially in the at the time of war. So again, brothers and sisters, we have the opportunity now to own, to become owners as to where we do not have to worry about white supremacists or insurrectionists, supremacy doing anything, because we'll be away from that. So, but again, I am looking at the powerful opportunities that we could take, and how rich we will already be as soon as we step foot in Africa. But not only will we go over there with wealth, but the opportunities that we, like you said, the difference between African Americans going to Africa and these foreigners going to Africa, we're going over there to become vested with the Africans. We are Africans just like they are. And nobody pays a better income. And I can contest to it, because I've been looking at it as a business owner for over 40 years, and I see myself and other business owners, black business owners, and I know even myself, if I made monies of my employees helped me, think I'm going to pay my employees quite well. And yes, and other African Americans are gladly doing it. Nobody pays better than working for another African American. Because, again, I don't mind paying $20, $25 an hour, especially when you're making me $100 or $200 an hour. And so that's what we can take to Africa. Yes, we can take our monies and our skills, and we have our African brothers and sisters. We can employ them and bring them, paying them decent salaries as to where now they can become industrialized and making a much more profitable life than the life that they're making when these other countries come over, such as China and what other countries coming over, exploring them, taking everything but giving nothing. So the difference between, so I thank the African people for waking up and realizing that it's better to deal with your own, especially when your own kind have the type of money that the African Americans have. I try to remind, but I was speaking to an African gentleman up in Delaware about this just a couple of days ago. I was passing him one of the flyers of going to Africa, and I reminded him that when it came to just our consumer spendings, and this was the figures that came out last year. I haven't gotten them for this year yet. But when it came to last year's consumer spendings, and this is no more than consumer spendings, we spent, African Americans spent more than $1.7 trillion in just consumer spendings last year. So what would happen if we realize $1.7 trillion of cash flow in Sierra Leone? So, sister, I am going to, so, sister, this is why I'm looking so forward to the business planning that we have for Africa. And I'm looking forward to getting as much information to African Americans, especially our churches and what have you, about the first delegation. We know this is a short period of time of putting this together, but this is the first one. But try to take as many, but not only just taking as many, but I'd like to have business folks who at least would be able to commit to at least $10,000. Not saying you have to pay, but we like to know that if you went there and found that this trip is a trip that you would want to do business in, then you would you would have somewhere $10,000, because I think that is a good amount for at least 100 of us, or a few hundred of us, as many as we can, to go over there and say, this is what we can do, or this is what we can get started with. So with that said, Brother Aziz and Sister Ali, I'm going to listen to, or anybody else, I am going to, our mics are, I'm a ways from the studio. I'm going to go back in there in just a few moments once that's shut up and open up the mics to everyone who has called in. But in the meantime, that's my little small summary. I look forward to turning it back over to you two. And like I said, I'm going to go in and open up the mics. Thanks so much for your for listening.
Thank you so much, brother, for that, for showing us, you know, the direction and how we need to go. That's amazing. Thank you so much. The trip is scheduled for December. The trip is centered around a conference where you're going to have about 20 presenters in the finance industry and the real estate industry, and construction and development. You're going to have ministers of transportation, ministers of development. You're going to have different ministers from Sierra Leone and Senegal and other representatives from, like, Nigeria and Liberia and Ghana coming in and speaking about just the business development and opportunities that are happening right now and where we as investors and entrepreneurs and business developers coming into the country, where we can go from there. So the business conference is very abundant as far as what the agenda is going to provide. The connections are going to come as well as far as who to talk to, who's going to do business with who, how to invest your money, and where's the right direction. I definitely want to encourage everyone who is considering this trip that all of these businesses have been vetted. One thing that is a general concern whenever you want to do business internationally is, can that person be trusted, right? And that's understood. But because it's all coming directly from the president's office, it's coming from the ambassador's office, and we're working directly with vetted private partnerships and organizations, it's safe investments to get into. But, of course, it's whatever you listen to and you hear that really touches you and connects with you as well. So thank you, Brother Bilal, for saying that about and encouraging others to come in with those amounts of monies, because I believe that that's a great start for a country like this. It is lower developed, but see it from the perspective of it's an opportunity to develop. And when he was saying about last year, the black dollar brought about trillions of dollars just in consumer, just in us buying. Our buying power was in the trillions. Imagine where that money could go when it comes to building infrastructure. And so when you build something, it comes right back to you, right? And as we see when it comes to building institutions, and I repeat this because it's definitely something of pride, when it comes to building institutions and it lasting through time, we can look at the historically black universities and colleges that were built in the 1800s and where they are today. They're still standing and they're still creating graduates. We can look at some of the hospitals that were built and they're still serving people. You know, so we definitely understand how to build something that is purposeful, community focused, and long lasting. And we can do that here too. Most certainly.
Well, sister, thanks so much.
The dates of the trip are December 16th through the 24th. And if you want to know more, you want to get more information, the website to go on is african.diasporaconnect.com. African.diasporaconnect.com.
All right. And of course, this is going to be a continuation of our show on a weekly basis. And so we look forward. And of course, we just had an election, and most of our listeners in other words, we just don't have a very large audience. I'm looking at our participants, and I think from the election, we may not have all of our participants on tonight, but the few that are on, our mics are open, and I do want to know that our director of natural disasters, Sister
Yes,
Ishali.
I'm here.
Yes, ma'am. And I know we've been deep into your time, but I don't think you you don't have.
Yeah.
I looked at our audience, and it's not the biggest audience, so that's one of the reasons why we just continue.
No,
I
didn't mind at all. I didn't mind at all relinquishing my time to this topic. So in next week we'll have more time to talk about the devastations of the new hurricane in our area, Nicole. So no, it was a good topic that Sajda brought forward, and I did not mind at all.
Well, and like I said, that topic will be a continuing topic because, we're on something that we've never done before. And I mean in over 500 years of our history, this is just a discussion that we just never had before. And that is African-Americans doing business in Africa and taking the resources that we have to do business in Africa. And I'm telling you, our resources, when we get to Africa, especially our monetary resources, become very large. So it ain't. So everything we talk about, we can actually afford to do. So we have a half an hour. We don't have a large audience, but this discussion is. I'm so excited about it. You know, normally we have a short audience. We cut our shows a little short until our audience. And a few listeners we do have, we're going to just continue. And but like I said, this is will be advertised to the general public as to where we will be having very large audience to hear our discussion. But I have to admit, tonight's topics, we didn't even get the subject on advertised or listed until today. So very few folks know about our topic this evening. But those of us that are listed, and we welcome you. You have any comments? We welcome your comments. Mike.
Oh yeah, Brother Bob. It's Brother Aziz, Sister Ali. I wanted to say that one of the things that I think will be unique about us starting, see about doing business in Africa and bringing business to Africa. I brought this subject matter up once before about there are a number of things within the businesses that are needed there, like different supplies that the African people need, medical supplies, all types of things like this. And this is what gives a businessman an opportunity to bring those supplies in there. And perhaps the money exchange there could go forward towards buying the land that you're talking about, Brother Bilal. But as we were brought up earlier, I could see the opportunity, especially in the agriculture market, that would would benefit the countries worldwide as far as the products that could come out of that black soil over there as it has out of the black soil here in America. So to be able to establish things like that, it's just, and as you say, as a business person, you have to take risks. But to go over and see, they have the offer as well as want. You have this opportunity already. And to have this ambassador that Sister Sasha was talking about appointed, and that Brother Shamsuddin has been around for a while doing business. And yeah, he's been well known in the community back in the day. Brother Shamsuddin, started out in the insurance business and things like that, and moved on out further. But he's in all different types of businesses, so I'm gonna say. But that's a great opportunity, and I hope that Sister Ali Sasha continue to give our listeners more information about the opportunities that exist in the Sierra Leone, as well as some of the opportunities that are available in Ghana. But I know that Sister Ali's mother has traveled. Sister Aisha has traveled to Africa also and done business over there in the minerals and other things. So for our listeners, as well as myself as a listener too, when it comes to listening to what our directors have to offer for the program, it's an unbelievable opportunity to know about this, because we have people that have actually been there and are dealing with people there, and we don't have to hear a lot of negativity that come out of situations like this. So that's good to know that we have someone out of our community that's been appointed to spearhead this opportunity to do business in Sierra Leone. I do know from prior research and talking to brothers, the leader of our Hajj group, Brother Mustafa, and also you know who I'm talking about, Brother Bilal. He is from Sierra Leone, and he had a diamond mine there that he had to close down because he said if he wasn't there to watch it, he couldn't take advantage of it. But this did exist, so I do know that there are opportunities there. We have to go there, as well as have people in our community that have been there and are going there, let us know what type of opportunities that are needed. There are many besides building roads and setting up water supply lines and all. Just so much needed. So thank you, Sister Shasha, for sharing that with us, and pray you continue to share this information with our listeners.
I most certainly will. Thank you for saying that. This is a new mission, and I take this role on very seriously and with passion too. I will be here every Wednesday sharing more information regarding the trip, and then while we're on the trip, reporting directly from the conference and on the ground, and then thereafter sharing more information. And I'm glad that you mentioned Sister Aisha and her experience in Africa. And it goes a little deeper than that, and I don't know if she shared this with you, but Sister Aisha actually was one of the first to create an international trade course that was taught at the top universities in North Carolina, several top universities.
Wow.
International trade course, because she has over 30 years of international trade experience. So she knows the ins and outs and the dynamics of working in business and importing and export of gold and oil, particularly oil, and in areas such as that. So she's pretty much written the book on this, this type of business, and that's where I learned it from. So you have two generations of international businesswomen who are moving from where it was to where it is.
You know.
Fantastic.
You know, I'm sitting here, and when I start thinking about doing business in Africa and African Americans doing business, you see, as African Americans, we're so advanced, and as far as being industrialized, let me give you an example of what I mean. The what made America and most of Europe as rich as they are today. Now, I know, like I said, you have the land, and I'm saying as far as starting up as a primitive growth, certainly it's going to come from farming and what have you. But industrialization comes from that also. And so one of the biggest incomes or revenues that comes from industrialized worlds is the power of intangible businesses. What do I mean when I am intangible? Selling your paper. See, we as African Americans, like I said, during the time of Black Wall Street, we had our own insurance companies. Those insurance companies is what builds communities. Those insurance companies is what builds states. Those insurance companies is what build countries. In Africa, I can't think of the name of one African worldwide name insurance company. But we know that when it comes to banks, insurance companies build banks. When it comes to cash flow, it all comes from insurance companies. And why? Because insurance companies are selling you a piece of paper that is an asset because it replaces you as a human being. It replaces all of your valuables. And for to replace yourself as a human being, I sell you a piece of paper that's written out saying that in the event that something happened to you, it will replace you and all of your financial obligations for your family, your business, your community, or what have you. But it's and in return, you're going to pay me a premium for this piece of paper that is written out explaining how it's an asset to you. And so now you pay me this premium, and here in the United States, the mortality rate is 12%. So so if you're paying me a dollar for this a piece of paper that I promise that I'll pay you a certain amount, and you're paying me a dollar or what have you, well, the mortality rate is only 12%. So for every dollar you pay me, if something happened to you, I only have to pay out 12 cents. The other 88 cents, I have it as a profit. So again, if my mortality rate is only 12%, and I am bringing in premiums of $1 trillion, look how much money I am able to keep in my reserve of funds every year, because every year from $1 trillion, I only had to pay out 12%. The rest of it is in my reserve funds after expenses. So I'm saying in Africa, we could own our insurance companies. We could own our own banks. We could own our own real estate companies. Here in America, it would be almost impossible because of the high cost of getting into and owning these types of businesses in our own communities, if someone would even allow you to incorporate such a business, because they realize that how powerful owning companies like insurance companies and banks and brokerage firms. In other words, we could have our own Wall Streets, and that's the abilities of African Americans. That's what we can take to Africa. So there is so many opportunities that we can take to Africa that we have skills in. We work in those fields, but we could never own these businesses here in this country because the cost would be just too high. But in Africa, my goodness, we're in charge. And that's what I mean about making your own business plans. And so when you start talking about African Americans and our industrialization going to Africa, sky is the limit. So again, brothers and sisters, like I said, I'm not asking anybody to be, I'm just sharing in with this conversation with you guys. But this is the kind of, as a financial, a licensed financial advisor, you see, this is how I am thinking. But again, if I was a carpenter, if I was a plumber, if I was an electrician, whatever field, a doctor, engineer, all of us are going to be taking our expertise and our knowledge with us there. Boy, look at the growth. Look at the growth that we would be taking to Africa. And, of course, our African brothers aren't stupid. They're intelligent people. They just don't have the industrialization so they can put it into their knowledge. We will be able to take our monies, our skills, and that knowledge, and they will be able to grow with us. In other words, we're not a China. We're not any other some companies that are coming in to explore and take from you. No, we're talking about going over and saying we want to build our country. And what country? In this case, Sierra Leone. We want to build it with our brothers. But I'm saying, look at the financial opportunities that we would be taking and sharing with that country. So, brothers and sisters, like I said, this is our beginning, and this is why we need to get our messages in our churches. Remember, what we're talking about here tonight, brothers and sisters, is very unique. And many African Americans can't even hold this conversation because it's inconceivable for, but it's not inconceivable, but that's because we realize it. And we got to take that realization to our African-American communities. So that's why I'm saying this is our, this conversation is going to be ongoing, but we got to spread the word to our communities. And we know one of our biggest businesses in our community is our churches. So we got to get that information out there, because I like to see, like I said, we're taking a delegation over in December, and we know it's whoever we can get to go, and it's just a matter of who we can inform. But this is no more than the first delegation. At some point, I like to see a million African American males and a million African American females be the first to go to a country like that and really start building that country, building our country with them together. Because when I say building our country, you see, like I said, if I, as an African-American, when I go over and you start talking about dual citizenship, then I want to know if I can afford it, I want to buy this 10,000 acres. And the 10,000 acres will belong to me, or the investors who was in with me to buy the 10,000 acres or 50,000 acres, whatever it may take. But I would be, as an African American, I need to know that what I invest in, I am the owner, and I can grow, help to grow the country. And one of the ways I can do that is by employing and seeing that income, a decent income, is coming in to the people who says that they was they can't even get food or can not afford food and buy simple water. That would be eliminated because of the industrialization that African Americans and the wealth that African Americans would be taking with them to Africa. So, brothers and sisters, like I said, we got about 10 more minutes. Our directors, we'll continue to welcome your comments. And if there are some listeners out there, we welcome your comments. Please, everybody. Looks like I'm just about the only one. So, any comments anybody want to add?
Well, you
to
know,
that?
I look forward to getting Sashta and other members of our community getting this project off the ground. And, of course, we know that when we are in Africa, there are many things that we have to figure out and work with, and things are going to be different. But I think it can be done, and that is a historical perspective that we as African Americans have always had, especially those of us who have been in business, is to do something in the motherland. So we'll see by the grace of Allah. And I only pray for success for all of us. Next week, I look forward to talking about disaster preparedness and what has transpired within the last couple of weeks, and for us to move forward with our basic survival here in the U.S. as well. So I'm looking forward to it, and I wish Sajda and the group who is participating in this project. And I guess we're all participating because morally we support you and we give you our energy and we look forward to great reports. And as Brother Bilal said, this is not the first group to go forth. There will be others, inshallah, in the future.
Sister Aisha, before you go, is there any little update on what's expected from this Hurricane Nicole or Tropical Storm Nicole?
Well, actually, yes, that in the next 24 hours or so, for it to land in the Florida Keys area, and the extent of the damage, there is expected to be some damage. We aren't quite sure of the extent as of yet, but this is only one of many such storms that's going to continue to occur. And we know that whenever we have a hurricane, we can also have fires. We can also have droughts. We can also have floods. So even though it might be a hurricane or a tropical storm, the consequences of that particular storm causes other issues, other disasters. So it's never just one isolated incident. Remember I said last week that we are one planet. Everything is interconnected. So we have to look at whatever happens in the southeast part of the United States, it's going to affect other parts of the United States in different ways, but it will still be classified as a disaster. And so we are definitely by next week, we will know what effect Nicole has had on our basic survival. And next week we're going to talk about risk, R-I-S-K, risk. And the economics of the risk that we are faced with and how we mitigate that risk. And these are the things, and also about the community organizations, community-based organizations coming together. So these are the things that we must start talking about, and we have to start initiating the coming together of organizations for our survival. So we have a lot to talk about next week, along with what Saisha will be talking about.
Great. Thank you.
Saisha, you want to any comments before we close out?
Yes, I'm looking forward to hearing Sister Aisha's report on disaster preparedness for next week, and I apologize for taking up her time.
That's
for
quite
this
all right.
Week.
You don't have to apologize. It's good.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your approval for that. That means a lot to me. Next, you know, go right ahead, brother.
The Business Association, which is going to be basically working with Aziz, Brother Aziz, and myself. Of course, we all work together, and we all work together. But we do have different topics, and you are a part of our topic because we are business. The New Africa Business Association, Black Belt Wall Street, is an LLC. And that's who we would, that's who we will have you being, that's who we'll have you directing, just like Brother Aziz and myself. So whoever guests want to come on, whatever topic you want to continue, we know we're going to continue our African topic. And like you said, anyone you want to bring in, you do it yourself. The only thing I am saying is that you take a day like today where our audience is small, that's because we didn't should go out on a Saturday or a Sunday, and then giving our audience at least 3 or 4 days to see what our topic of discussion is. And, of course, we advertise our discussion. So next Wednesday at the same time, we look forward to continuing. But this African business trip we're talking about, boy, this is, we need to get this information out. And I tell you, our church is messed up wherever we can get it out. And, but until then, we will, and like I said, again, a salute to all the veterans. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening, everybody.
Yes, he did. Every brotherhood.